FBI turns in Kavanaugh report.
There'll be plenty of time for members to review supplemental material.
South Carolina ambush.
These officers went there unknowing the firepower the suspect had.
Return address on suspicious letters.
A Navy veteran is being held related to the investigation.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, presented by Zoom Video Conferencing.
Good morning, I'm Steve Kaffin. A much-anticipated FBI report on Brett Kavanaugh is now in the hands of the Senate Judiciary Committee. The White House has a copy, too, and a spokesman said early this morning the Senate should now vote to confirm the Supreme Court nominee. CBS's Nancy Cordes says lawmakers are now getting a look, and the first Senate action could come tomorrow.
Republicans and Democrats will take turns viewing the highly anticipated FBI findings, which will summarize interviews with at least five high school friends of Brett Kavanaugh and Christine Blasey Ford. As of yesterday, the FBI had not interviewed Ford or Kavanaugh themselves, along with more than a dozen people proposed by Ford's lawyers. And overnight, The New Yorker reported that frustrated witnesses wanting to speak to the FBI about other allegations against Kavanaugh were ignored. Deborah Ramirez, who alleges Kavanaugh exposed himself to her at a Yale party, was interviewed by the FBI, but she told The New Yorker, "People who were key to corroborating my story have not been contacted. I feel like I'm being silenced."
Award-winning journalist Connie Chung says she was sexually assaulted by her family doctor 50 years ago when she was 22. She reveals it in the form of a letter to Christine Blasey Ford, who has been criticized for not recalling details surrounding her own alleged attack. Chung read the letter as it appeared in the Washington Post.
"Exact dates, exact years are insignificant. We remember exactly what happened to us and who did it to us. We remember the truth forever."
Late last night, a federal court in San Francisco blocked the Trump administration from ending protections that allowed immigrants from four countries to live and work legally in the U.S. The judge said President Trump's own words that have blasted immigrants influenced his decision to end the program. Now to Florence, South Carolina, where seven law enforcement officers were shot during a standoff at a home where they were trying to serve a warrant. One of those officers died, 52-year-old Terrence Carraway. Police Chief Alan Heidler says he had just marked 30 years on the force.
"Pray for the family who lost the bravest police officer that I have ever known."
CBS's David Begnaud says the suspect who held his children hostage during the two-hour siege is now in custody.
"The suspect perched like a sniper, opened fire on three deputies initially, leaving them wounded in the front yard. Then four officers responding as backup were shot as well. There was a moment of desperation with officials who tried to figure out, how do we get in to rescue these men without risking another life?"
A 39-year-old Navy veteran has been arrested in connection with suspicious envelopes sent to President Trump, Defense Secretary Mattis, and the Navy's top officer. CBS's Steve Futterman says the Pentagon letters contained castor seeds, which can be used to make the poison ricin.
"The man, identified as William Clyde Allen III, was taken into custody in Logan, Utah. Reportedly, Allen put his return address on the envelopes, including one that was sent to President Trump. The area surrounding Allen's home was cordoned off to make sure there were no other dangerous materials."
Allen has had previous run-ins with the law and served prison time in an aggravated assault case. Amazon drew wide praise for announcing it will raise the minimum wage for its workers to $15 an hour. But the online giant says it's going to phase out a stock program which gave shares to longtime employees, and it will end bonuses for current warehouse workers. Indonesian authorities have arrested nine people for allegedly spreading fake news on social media after the earthquake and tsunami to try to spark further panic. CBS's Ben Tracy has more on the recovery effort.
The Indonesian military is finally here with an army of supplies. Boxes of water, instant noodles, and giant sacks full of clothes. All of it is desperately needed at the many makeshift homeless camps that have sprung up all over the disaster zone. They have had to drink water from the nearby river, which is also being used as a toilet.
Correspondent Vladimir Dutier has the bizarre story this morning of an X-Men actress who has resurfaced in the face of tax trouble.
She's one of China's most recognizable and highest paid actresses. 3 months ago, she simply disappeared. But on Wednesday, China's official news agency announced that 37-year-old Fan Bingbing had been charged with tax evasion and has been ordered to pay nearly $130 million in overdue taxes and fines. In her first social media post in nearly 4 months, Fawn apologized to the public, writing, "I feel shamed and guilty for what I have done." Robert Kane is a producer who writes about China's film industry.
The government is sending a very strong message to everyone that no one is above this.
In 2016, she ranked as the fifth highest paid actress in the world, right behind Jennifer Aniston.
Lawyers for a woman who's suing one of soccer's biggest global stars are speaking out as Las Vegas police reopen an investigation into her rape allegation. We're live this morning with CBS's Peter King.
Catherine Mayorga says soccer star Cristiano Ronaldo raped her back in 2009. Her attorney, Leslie Stovall, says the attack has made her day-to-day life difficult.
Depression, suicidal ideation, abuse of alcohol, problems in maintaining personal relationships and employment.
Mayorga signed a $375,000 non-disclosure agreement, but says now that she lacked the mental capacity to negotiate that settlement. She's suing Ronaldo for more than $200,000. Ronaldo denies raping her and says his conscience is clear, but Portugal's national team has just announced that he's being left off of the team for a pair of upcoming matches. Steve?
Well, capping a struggle that's gone on for a decade, Pennsylvania lawmakers have passed a bill that would force people found to have committed domestic violence to surrender any guns they own within 24 hours. Republican State Senator Tom McGarrigle.
The intent of this law is to remove firearms from a volatile situation, not merely removing them from a specific location.
Under current law, those guns can be turned over to family members or friends. In recent years, Broadway has become home to a host of shows that deliver popular music. CBS's Matt Piper says it's a trend that will continue.
Tina Turner is coming to Broadway. Or her music is, at least. It'll be called Tina, based on her life and career, and it will come out next fall. It's currently playing at a theater in London's West End. It follows other Broadway shows that have done well following music icons like Beautiful, the Carole King musical, and Jersey Boys. As for Turner, she probably will not star in it. She's been pretty much retired for the last decade or so. Matt Piper, CBS News.
A man immortalized in a grim photo 50 years ago has died. Juan Romero was the teenage hotel busboy who cradled Robert F. Kennedy's head just after he was shot. The LA Times says Romero has died at 68. And that's the CBS World News Roundup. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.